Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is the Pony Express.
There's Baines. The pitch is swinging, a long one. Deep center field. Matos back at the track, at the wall. Gone! Three-run homer. He dropped it over the wall. There's the homer. Baines has hit his 11th.
The big man on the mound, Lee Smith, can do what he's done so well all year long. Hit well, going back, caught under the wall, but he'll have the play and makes the catch. Well, the congratulations for Lee Smith as he saves it for Steve Trout, who pitched a whale of a ball game.
And John Wetland one more time set. And here comes the 2-2 pitch to Edgar Martinez now. And a fastball swung on and hit the deep center field. Bernie Williams goes back and it is... Get out the rye bread and the mustard this time, Grandma! It is a grand salami! Edgar Martinez hits one off the tarp in dead center field!
There you go. Welcome to the Pony Express CBS Sports Radio from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio on this Sunday. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. On Baseball Hall of Fame Induction Day, a class that MLB.com is calling an iconic group of six players who go in for enshrinement today, and you just heard some highlights on three of them: Harold Baines, Lee Smith, and Edgar Martinez. And that's where we're going to start today's show. We're with you coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio today for the next 4 hours. On Twitter, at CBS Sports Radio, I'm at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. On the telephones at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227. CBSSportsRadio.com, Sirius XM Channel 206. Just a couple places you can listen to us today in addition to all the FM and AM affiliates that make up our CBS Sports Radio network. I tell you, this feels like the worst baseball Hall of Fame class of all time. I think this is the worst one. And this just feels like a rain on their parade kind of day. When I look at this class or this group of Hall of Famers, it makes me wonder about the whole point, the essence. Why do we even have Hall of Fames? What's the point of having a baseball Hall of Fame when today Lee Smith, Harold Baines, Roy Halladay, Edgar Martinez, Mike Mussina achieve immortality? If the Baseball Hall of Fame did it the right way, this afternoon, we could have the following class: Mariano Rivera, Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Manny Ramirez, and Rafael Palmeiro. We could have the greatest relief pitcher of all time, the home run king, one of the 10 best pitchers of all time, a guy with 500 home runs, and a guy with 3,000 hits going into the Hall of Fame. Instead, it's Harold Baines. God bless him. I'm sure he's a fantastic guy, which is probably the reason why he's going in. Because he was respectful and nice to his manager, to his teammates, to reporters. Although reporters never, the baseball writers, never gave Baines more than 6% of the vote. Harold Baines never hit 30 home runs in a season. Harold Baines is a career 289 hitter. Harold Baines never won a World Series. It's not like with Harold Baines you see above average regular season stats that get amplified by postseason success. He's not Bill Mazeroski with average numbers in an iconic moment. He's Harold Baines. He went to the World Series one time in 1990, and he hit 143. But he knew the right people at the right time. This Today's Game committee. He played for Tony La Russa twice. La Russa on the committee. Baines spent most of his career with the White Sox. Jerry Reinsdorf, who owns the White Sox, on the committee. Roberto Alomar played with Baines in Baltimore on the committee. So Harold Baines had influential friends. Not to mention the fact that he spent most of his career as a designated hitter. And I don't know about you, but when you only perform in do half of the game, you better put up insane numbers. When you don't field, when you're not known for your base running, you better hit the snot out of the ball. And Harold Baines is a career 289 hitter who doesn't have a 30 home run season. I mean, even Edgar Martinez, who some fans fawn over, Edgar Martinez is a career 312 hitter. That's the same lifetime average as Manny Ramirez. Edgar Martinez has 309 home runs. Manny Ramirez has 555. Mariano Rivera, God bless him again, best relief pitcher of all time. But for him to be the only unanimous selection ever? How important is a closer? During the regular season, they pitch in half the games, and they get three outs per game. And in modern baseball, in the regular season, Rivera would most of the time start ninth innings with a clean slate. And he would be asked to get 11% of the outs, 3 out of 27. And I think he's a Hall of Famer, mostly, mainly, because of his postseason resume. But of all the players that have come before him, he's the first unanimous choice? I mean, what's happened to the Hall of Fame? It's a total mockery. The writers continue to slam the door on PED guys, on steroid guys. But then they've let Bud Selig in. He was in charge. He presided over the steroid era. He was the commissioner during the steroid era. They've let Tony La Russa in, who won championships because of steroid users, who really had his career take off because of Jose Canseco, Mark McGwire, Bash Brothers. He's in. How about Pudge Rodriguez? Jose Canseco said in his book, Juiced, I put steroids in Pudge Rodriguez. He pulled down his pants. He exposed his buttocks. I took a syringe. I injected him with steroids. Pudge Rodriguez in the Hall of Fame. One man's account. Jose Canseco has proven to be a pretty reliable whistleblower on the steroid era. So in my opinion, you have a commissioner, a manager, and a player who are already in the Hall of Fame because they benefited from steroids. At that point, you cannot ban or bar. Once you let a couple in, you have to let them all in. And so because the Hall of Fame is high and mighty, because the people that are the gatekeepers don't want to deal with the reality that the game was rife with steroid users and cheaters, because they will continue to vote that way, you get Hall of Fame classes like this afternoon, where it's Harold Baines, Edgar Martinez, Lee Smith. I don't understand how a guy becomes eligible for a Hall of Fame, say, in 1999. And for 20 years, he's not good enough to go in. But on like the 21st year, somebody has an epiphany, and that player gets in. One of the many things about baseball that have been, for me, completely cheapened or ruined: home run totals, pennant races, Hall of Fame. And I think today's class is the all-time low point. Other than Mariano Rivera, it is really hard to make a case for any of these guys. Good luck. Mussina and Halliday are probably the closest after him. Halliday's best was really good when he was on his game. And Mussina's underrated because of maybe some of the teams he pitched for. Like, Mussina's career numbers, he doesn't have 300 wins, but to me, he's a better pitcher than Tom Glavine. Glavine just did it longer. He pitched to 42, and Mussina pitched to 39. But I just get a kick out of the way, like, baseball today has to put up on its website, folks, buckle in for an iconic class. Get excited about Harold Baines, who you watched for 20 years, and not one time that even his closest relatives, I don't think his wife said, wow, I got to pinch myself, I'm married to a Hall of Famer. What a life. So that's what we get out of baseball today, a watered-down Hall of Fame class. And it's because of baseball's continual denial of legitimate superstar players. And maybe it was a noble cause like 10 years ago to keep the cheaters out, but now you've already let a few of them slip through the cracks. So what's the point? Who's more deserving of the Hall of Fame, Barry Bonds or Harold Baines? If you had to let one in, would you let in Barry Bonds or Harold Baines? Would you let in Roger Clemens or Lee Smith? Manny Ramirez or Edgar Martinez? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Worst Hall of Fame class, and the voters had a chance to make it one of the best ever. With Bonds, Clemens, Manny, Mo Rivera, Palmeiro, but to this point, if it's absolutely 100% proven that you've done PEDs, they're not going to let you in. So getting your reaction to that start today. I actually grew up about an hour away from Cooperstown, and those trips to the Baseball Hall of Fame, growing up, that was like baseball heaven, a kid's nirvana to go down there and see the stores and to see the Hall of Fame. And like, if you get emotional or nostalgic about baseball, it was awesome. But now, as I've gotten older, I've looked at it more critically, and I'm like, this museum is a joke right now. Look at the people they're letting in. Who's next? Who's going to be the guy from this era who makes it in because of this wall that has been built against the steroid era? Guys, who's the player from this era that we're going to scratch our head 15 years from now and say, are you kidding me? Ian Kinsler's a Hall of Famer? Are you kidding me? You gotta be kidding me. We just put DJ LeMahieu in the Hall of Fame? I don't know. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. British Open moved up because of bad weather in the forecast. I don't ever remember major golf championships doing that until this year. It happened at the Masters, now here. I understand lightning, but I guess they don't want these guys playing in the rain anymore, which is odd to me. So we'll get an update there in about 10 minutes. I do want your calls on this, though. I know baseball, it's an older audience, but it's still a big one. It's still, based on revenue and ratings, the second biggest sport in this country. Today's Hall of Fame Day, that kind of stuff used to matter. I don't think it does anymore because the committee, the election process, is so bad. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 to get involved in the conversation. Lots to do today. Tyreek Hill, College Football Media Day, Fallout, British Open, Tiger Woods. It's all on the docket. I'm Andrew Filippone. Thanks for finding me. It's the Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
This is the Pony Express.
And thanks for finding me today. We're talking about the demise of Hall of Fames, and today we've turned an eye to the Baseball Hall of Fame and just how preposterous this class of Hall of Famers is, which it's supposedly like their day in the sun, you know, the most important or memorable moment in the individual careers of the players who get the honor. But when there are ridiculous selections, I think it's fair to call them out. And the people that are in charge of making these decisions, what they value. And right now, what they seem to value is keeping out the steroid users, the ones who really got caught or really brought shame to baseball. Let's make sure we keep them out at all costs. And if we do, and that means we have to let Lee Smith and Harold Baines in as a result, so be it. Because to me, at this point, letting Harold Baines and Lee Smith into the Hall of Fame is more offensive than letting Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens in. Barry Bonds, you put that plaque on the wall, and you walk through the halls of Cooperstown, and his performance lines up or matches up with the other greats who are part of that fraternity. Harold Baines doesn't. You know, it would be like you get all the great quarterbacks of all time in one place. There's Dan Marino. There's Tom Brady. There's Peyton Manning. There's Terry Bradshaw, Brett Favre, John Elway, and then Vinny Testaverde. And so I've got a problem with that. 855-212-4227 if you want to register your opinion. If you don't want to call, you can tweet me at the Pony Express, Pony spelled P-O-N-I. You can tweet us at CBS Sports Radio. Jason Stark is the Ford Frick Award winner. That's for, you know, excellence in baseball writing. Jason Stark, who used to cover the Phillies for the Inquirer and then did a lot of work for ESPN, I grew up watching him on Baseball Tonight. And he is renowned or regarded as one of the best baseball writers of this generation. And so I went on Twitter and I looked at Jason Stark's Twitter account. And I saw that he had 500,000 followers, which is a lot. 500,000 followers for somebody that writes quality stories on baseball. Doesn't make stuff up, doesn't stir the pot, has never been you know, accused of plagiarism, or he's never got himself in a controversy, got the facts wrong on a story, was completely wrong, had to take it back. I mean, just really as good as it gets. 500,000 followers. And then I refuse to follow this guy. But I saw this morning that O.J. Simpson put out another tweet talking about his career and the Tyreek Hill decision by the NFL and giving some random thoughts on a golf course about fantasy football this year. And then I looked at O.J. Simpson. And I saw that he had already, and this is in 1 month's time, 800,000 Twitter followers. And I thought to myself, if this doesn't sum up social media, if this doesn't sum up sports fans in 2019 or the age we live in, I don't know what else does. Baseball writer who doesn't just come up with ridiculous takes, doesn't go at guys, just reports the sport right down the middle, breaks news. Been around for 40 years writing about baseball, now a Hall of Fame baseball writer, 500,000 Twitter followers, O.J. Simpson, almost a million. Andrew Filippone, CBS Sports Radio. I do want your thought on this Hall of Fame stuff, or maybe you've just stopped caring. Maybe this is something that you used to put a lot of thought into and care a lot about, but you feel like either the steroid eras have besmirched the game or the guardians of the game, the people who try to protect, quote-unquote, baseball, have ruined the Hall of Fame by keeping those players out. And I asked a pretty simple question. If you had to put one guy in, and your choices were Barry Bonds or Harold Baines, the great player who used steroids or the mediocre player who didn't, who would you put in? 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4227. Later on, we'll talk about this new controversy between Clemson and Alabama. Both teams, the two best college football programs in America, talking a lot of smack. Jim Harbaugh trying to put out a fire. A so-called big boxing match last night. I listened to Pharrell this whole entire week on the network. He's in Vegas for Pacquiao and Thurman. I didn't even know who Thurman was until this morning, which is probably part of the problem that sport faces. And I don't think that it's like my fault. I don't think it's like a bad job by me as an ignorant talk show host. I just think the sport has become irrelevant for the most part.
This is the Pony Express.
I'm going to be in Vegas this week. And I'm excited. It's lost a little bit of its luster, though, because I do my local show in Pittsburgh. I'm based out of Pittsburgh. And Pennsylvania legalized sports betting last fall. So I was able to bet on the NFL playoffs, the Super Bowl, March Madness, and all of those things here. Casino downtown, actually, it's right next to Heinz Field. Within a few hundred feet of an NFL stadium, you could legally place a wager on, say, Steelers-Patriots. And that used to be the hook for me as a diehard sports fan of going to Vegas, is that you'd get out there and I would get like a tingly sensation going into the sports book. So I'm going to go out there now a week late, staying at the MGM Grand, where last night Manny Pacquiao beat Keith Thurman. Welterweight fight. Pacquiao now 40 years old. That was Thurman's first defeat. And this, you know, stuff like this, these boxing matches, these big pay-per-views, have absolutely no meaning to me anymore. And so that whole debate between mixed martial arts, the UFC, and prized fighting, boxing, I've completely checked out on both things. I've never gotten into the UFC. I've never purchased a UFC pay-per-view, regardless of what gimmick they've run out there, whether it's Ronda Rousey or Bones Jones or Brock Lesnar, going back to the grassroots days of Ultimate Fighting, like Ken Shamrock and those guys, I never got into it. And boxing was something I liked a lot more. I would order Mike Tyson fights. I would go over friends' houses for Lennox Lewis, Holyfield, and then in college ordering Floyd Mayweather fights and Oscar De La Hoya. So it's not like I had always blocked out or ignored boxing. There were times where it mattered to me, and I would even spend $50 to watch it. And those days have gone by the wayside. When you have a 40-year-old former champion who's washed up like Pacquiao, and he beats an undefeated fighter who's on his way up, I think that's terrible for the growth or the health of the sport. I look at the welterweight division in boxing. How many of you have actually taken the time to do that? Probably like 1% of you right now. The welterweight division, 5 belts, 5 different champions. That's just one division. 5 belts, 5 different champions. The WBA is now Pacquiao. The WBC is Sean Porter. The IBF is Errol Spence Jr. The WBO is Terrence Crawford. The IBO is Sebastian Formella. What other sport has this problem? You have one division and 5 different champions? Where to the casual fan, to the average fan, they have no idea who number one is, who is champion, who is contender, who is legit, who is illegitimate. At least with golf and tennis, major events sort out the rankings. Wimbledon, the British Open, the best golfers, the best tennis players go to one place and 2 weeks or 4 days determine who the best is. In boxing, we never see that. In boxing, you get situations where Mayweather and Pacquiao, when they're both in their prime or close to their prime, avoid each other for like 5 years and prevent fans from seeing like two of the best generational fighters, two of the best in their era, go against each other at the height of their powers. And instead, you have to settle 7 or 8 years later for a fight where they're now both close to 40. In Pacquiao's case, he has a shoulder injury, but he can't pull out of the fight. because there are literally hundreds of millions of dollars that go away if he doesn't just gut it out and at least try his best. Boxing is so chaotic. We just had a fight a month ago where some guy who looked like he had just left the Nathan's hot dog eating contest won the heavyweight title, which probably says more about the guy that he beat than it does him. Like, I get Buster Douglas happens once in a blue moon. But when the best the sport has to offer loses to a guy who looks like he's the toll collector on the New York State Thruway, I mean, you've got a problem. I mean, boxing, you really have to work to think of the last time boxing was mainstream. When was the last time boxing was mainstream? When was the last time boxing was legitimate? The biggest fight in the last 2 years or 3 years is Conor McGregor against Floyd Mayweather. And I know there have been better matchups. Well, there would have to be, because in that case, only one fighter was trained in the ring, was trained to box. I know there have been better matchups, but there haven't been matchups, bouts, that have consumed America, that have like caused people to make sure that it's, all right, this is an event. I need to make sure I watch this. It's like a playoff game or it's like the Super Bowl. I need to see this. And I don't think one of the myths about boxing, in my opinion, as a sport, Andrew Filippone, CBS Sports Radio on this Sunday morning. One of the myths for me is the premise that the sport is hurt by the pay-per-view quotient, that forcing people to pay a premium is what undermines or stunts the growth of boxing. I don't think it has anything to do with that. Because one thing that has become abundantly clear to me is that the American sports fan will pay for premium content. If they like the sport, if they're into the game, they'll go into their pocket for it. They'll buy Sunday ticket, which is really expensive. But football fans, a lot of them decide that they can't live without it because they bet on it, because of fantasy football teams. Because their favorite team, they live in Detroit, and their favorite team's in Seattle. Fans will pay for it. Fans will pay. We're on SiriusXM Channel 206. Sports fans will pay for satellite radio to listen to all the games, to listen to all the sports channels like ours. And, you know, 15 years ago when satellite radio was getting off the ground, the question or the one thing that was working against it was no one had really ever paid for radio before. So I don't think pay-per-view has led to the death or demise of boxing. The lack of star power, the lack of American fighters with charisma, with personality, who win. I think that's the overarching problem more than anything else. If there's a personality that boxing fans here can grow to love or grow to hate, I think that's what would bring the sport back. I mean, the amount of people we have to draw from, like, Boxing is hurt in terms of a participation aspect. Like, fewer and fewer people actually do it. Train, fight, because of the risk involved. But of the people that watch the NFL, how many of them do you think played football at a high level? What do you think is the average handicap of the person who watches, say, the British Open? How many NBA fans have actually dunked a basketball? Manny Pacquiao wins last night, and I think it barely gets noticed. And when it's a boxer who I thought was done 10 years ago, who's retired five times already, that's not a renaissance or a rebound. That's not Jack Nicklaus winning at the 85 Masters. That's not Tiger Woods this year at the Masters. That's not, you know, Barry Bonds hitting 73 home runs at 38 years old. It's just proof that the sport is blah. So, I'm happy I'm going out there this week and not last week, because the hotels would have been way more expensive, and I don't think the event is in any way worth spending money on or worth seeing. All right, coming up next hour, I'm glad you joined me. Bunch of ways you can listen to the show next hour if your local affiliate is dropping out. You can switch over to satellite Sirius XM channel 206. You can stream us at cbssportsradio.com. You can download the radio.com app, which is free. And that gives you access to shows like this one, live, podcast, premium content. We're talking about all kinds of interviews that you might have missed during the week on shows like Jim Rome, Tiki and Tierney, up on CBS Sports Radio at radio.com. Coming up next, better team, Clemson or Alabama? We'll dive into that after all the smack that's been talked this week. I'm Andrew Filippone. The show's called The Pony Express on CBS Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.